And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. It is a wonderful Tuesday, and I pray that you are doing well. We're going to be going today to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 19. And we're going to be talking about how important it is that we as believers praise the Lord. And so we talked a little bit about that already. We were in Psalm 22. We've talked about how Leah said, you know, this time I'm going to praise the Lord, and it changed her. We talked in Revelation chapter 22, or not Revelation, the book of Psalms 22, how that whenever we praise the Lord, because God is holy, he comes and establishes his throne room and inhabits the praises of God's people, that everybody who understands God in the reality of his nature, how holy, how powerful, how loving, how merciful, how righteous, how just he is, that all of those people should praise the Lord. And now we're going to go to the book of Revelation. The word hallelujah, H-A-L-L-E-L-U-G-A-H, in Hebrew, is mentioned in the New Testament in the book of Revelation as alleluia, and there it is A-L-L-E-L-U-I-A, alleluia. So that's what we're going to talk about. This, it occurs four times in Revelation chapter 19, and we're going to work our way through these verses here today. We're going to begin in verse number one. First of all, I'd like to take a moment to say thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air. They are based in Rockledge, Florida. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. They've been in Brevard County for over five decades now. They provide professional sales services and repairs. They work in air conditioning situations, heating situations, as well as electrical issues. Like I say, they travel all throughout Brevard County. And I'll just say this. There's a lot of companies out there, and they have a lot of vehicles. They sometimes have big buildings. And things like that. And all of those sorts of things come with a large overhead. Wyrick Air operates in a very cost-effective manner. They're not there to impress you with the number of vehicles in their fleet. They're not there to have this super amazing building. They want to give you the best service possible at the best value possible. They bring kingdom values to their business as well. Dennis pastors a church, and I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for his family, and all that they do for the kingdom of God. If you are looking for an AC service provider or an electrical provider that will not try and take advantage of you, but will try and resolve your issues at the best price possible, you may want to write down this number, 321-632-9538. Their license numbers are CAC 182-1309 and EC 1300-2439. We thank them for their friendship and thank them for their believing in the Refresh Radio program. As I was studying and like I was telling you, I learned things. I didn't know that the book of Psalms had a different name in Hebrew than it does in Greek, that, you know, where we think of it as a book of songs, in Hebrew, it's more of a book of praise. And I like that. So as I was studying this, there's this statement about the word alleluia or hallelujah in the history of Christian praise and worship music. And there's this statement in Vine's Expository Dictionary. It says Christian hymnody or Christian hymnology or the body of Christian hymns, Christian songs, certainly would be greatly impoverished if the term hallelujah was suddenly removed from our language of praise. And so you might be familiar with the song Alleluia. That and I'm on the wrong melody, got all the wrong stuff going on there, and that's why I'm a teacher and a preacher, not a singer. The Alleluia chorus, the part of Handel's Messiah, where that word hallelujah comes up in such a powerful way that it will move you towards the presence of God. So there is a secularized song, Hallelujah, and that I'm not, you know, I think that's a misappropriation of the term. And so I want to stick to biblical praise the Lord. And so that's going to bring us to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, I'm not going to read the entire passage, but I want to take you through the first 10 verses. Here John writes, "After these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her." Again they said, "Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sat on the throne, saying, "Amen, Alleluia." Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you who, his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready, and to her it has been granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Then he said to me, "Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true sayings of God." And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So I was, in fact, Dennis and Carla from Wyrick Air, they had me preach a revival service. And the passage of scripture that I was talking about that God has appointed in the church apostles, and he had appointed prophets and teachers, and he had appointed miracles, the miraculous, the supernatural power of God on display in deeds here in our day and time in the church. The church is not a civic organization. It's not just a lecture hall. It's not just a place where we come together and have a Bible lesson. That God has assigned and appointed, put into place in the church, the power of God on display. And so I was sharing that, and I was specifically talking about the concept of prophets. And a lot of people focus on the prophetic aspect of, well, tell me what the future holds. There are a lot of people who want to know, what does the future hold? They want the specific will of God, while at the same time ignoring the general revelation of God's word and his plan from his word. And so I said, a prophet, more than telling the future, had the responsibility of calling people back into a healthy relationship with God, abandoning their sin, returning to their spiritual roots, and saying, God, I need you to forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life. That was, you know, part of the prophetic responsibility. The second part of a prophet's message was to go to wherever God had assigned them with a, thus says the Lord. And I believe that the church is not designed by God to give a message to people with itching ears to hear what they want to be said, but to go forth with a thus says the Lord. And so when I preached this revival service, I wasn't going there with my best message or any. I was praying, God, what do you want me to share? Several years ago, I was invited to go preach a youth conference in Fiji. And that would be really surprising to the person who fired me from being a youth pastor. They said I was worthless and would never amount to anything in the ministry, but I don't live my life defining by that. I remember it. It keeps me humble because I know that the only reason that I got from the point that I was to where I am is because of the grace of God. But when I went over there, I didn't realize that there were going to be about 200 people that got saved. That was the report that we got back after we left. But I took a bunch of sermons over there with me. I didn't know which one God wanted me to share. And so I got over there. I preached a couple of times. And they don't want you to preach 15 minutes. They want you to preach for as long as it takes to. And so for them, if you preach for an hour, if you preach for 2 hours, they're not going to be offended by that over there. They're desperate for the word of God. And so I was sitting in the hotel room that we had booked, and I was praying and said, God, which of these messages do you want me to preach? And he said, none of them. And I said, okay, well, what do you want me to preach? And he took me to Psalm 119. And he just opened up Psalm 119. And I mean, for the next several hours, I was on spiritual download and writing notes and taking notes as fast as I possibly could. And, you know, it's not just hit the button and replay the message. A prophetic voice has a thus says the Lord. And so we don't need to be communicating to the church thus says the culture, we as the church need to be communicating to our culture, thus says the Lord. Too many times we're getting that backwards, and it causes the church not to be the church that Jesus intended it to be. And when that's the case, you won't get the results. You won't see the salvations. You might see numerical growth. You might see building growth. You might see financial increase, but you will not see kingdom growth when you are trying to make the church the culture instead of the church being the one who reflects the culture of heaven. And so then the third thing I said about prophets is this, and I'm using this from verse number 10 for the testimony of Jesus as the spirit of prophecy. And I said, so tonight, because there may be some who are interested in the future, I want to speak a prophetic word about the future. It's not a complicated word. It's just one word. It's Jesus. The future is all about Jesus. Our present best functions when it's all about Jesus. Our past has a much different impact on us when our past is under the blood of Jesus. A million years from now, it's going to be all about Jesus. And so the more that we can realize that the future is about Jesus and us coming into alignment with Jesus, the better off we're going to be. That's the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's an encouraging word. It is, oh, what have you done with Jesus? What are you doing with Jesus? What does your future look like in alignment with Jesus? So anyway, that was my message that night. As we start into this study here, I want to let you know that where we've been talking about praising God because we're thankful, praising God because he's glorious, when we praise God, it causes his presence to come. It draws us into his presence. It causes his throne room to be established. We can praise God for what he's done, and we can praise God for what he's doing. We can praise God for what he's going to do. What Revelation chapter 19 reveals to us, first of all, is this, that praising God is the culture of heaven. Whether it is the voice of a great multitude, whether it is the 24 elders and the living creatures, whether it is the servants of God, all the servants of God praising God, or in verse number 6, the voice of a great multitude, the culture of heaven is an unending symphony of praise and worship to God. You also see in verses 9 and 10 that John is so caught up in this culture of praise and worship that he thinks that he's supposed to bow down and worship this angel that is revealing this to him. And you know that this is not Jesus. I mean, if you've got a red letter edition, this is not in red letters. Jesus is not speaking to him. It's just an angelic messenger from dispatched by God from the throne room to John. And John falls down. It says in verse number 10, he fell at his feet to worship him, the angel. But he, the angel, said to me, see that you do not do that. Don't do that. Okay, he said, I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. See, angels don't come on their own power. Angels don't come with their own message. Angels do not have their own agenda. Angels serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They are at his beck and call. They are servants that are sent to minister to the saints, and they do that as servants of fire. They bring an anointing from the throne that is something that they thrive in. They exist in that sort of environment. And so the angelic host is praising God. Everybody in heaven is going to be fixated on praising God for who he is. And so praising God brings us into alignment with the culture of heaven. So if you want to experience heaven on earth, you need a revelation of Jesus that is going to result in you saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And you will find that you are not the only one. In fact, one of the things that I have noticed in 32 years of senior pastor ministry is that if you come into a service and there's a person praising the Lord, I mean, they're up at the altar, they're seeking God before the service even starts, it will have a noticeable difference on how everybody else enters into the sanctuary. Now, I'm going to tell you that Merit Assembly of God has come a long ways as far as relational dynamics. When I first came to the church, I would give the closing prayer at the front of the sanctuary. Before I could even get to the back, everybody was pretty much already gone. And I was young and I wasn't slow, but they came in. There was not a lot of social interaction there. There wasn't a lot of small talk or anything like that. They came to worship God. They came to hear the word of God, and bam, they were gone. And we set out to change that because we think that the saints of God should should like one another. Since we're going to spend eternity together in heaven worshiping Jesus, we might as well get used to knowing one another now and start praising him now so that when we get to heaven, it's no big change. So now, whenever people come in, almost everybody engages in a conversation with somebody. They start talking, and sometimes they're enjoying the fellowship so much that when it comes time to service, and I start my service on time, I would say my track record of starting a service when it's supposed to start is 99.9%. There's been a couple of times when I missed, but it wasn't by much. And so a lot of times I'm saying, okay, folks, I know you're really enjoying talking with one another, but it's time for us to come together and start worshiping the Lord. The fellowship is so sweet that there are many times when an hour after the service, people are still hanging around, talking with one another, talking with us. And I wouldn't change that dynamic for the world except for one thing. It's not a one or the other. I think it's a both and. I think that when we come together, if we will come together and say, you know what, someone's going to be the first one to praise the Lord. Someone is going to be the first one to seek his face. Heaven is focused right now on praising God, and I'm going to make sure that this service at Merit Assembly of God resembles what's going on in heaven. We're going to experience heaven on earth here today. I'm just going to start praising him now. And whenever people begin to see that, all of a sudden it changes priorities. It changes focus. So praising God is not just a duty. It's a privilege. Praising God is not something that should be alien to us or foreign to us. It should be our heart's desire, because with Jesus, he's not just our Savior. He is supposed to be the one that we love with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Who wouldn't want to praise him for who he is, for what he's delivered us from, and what he has in store for us in the future? My goal on this program was very simple. It was to let you know heaven is a place where it is universal praise of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Revelation chapter 19 lets us know that that's what our future looks like. And so we might as well start working our way towards the future that God has for us. There are angelic beings who praise the Lord. There are servants of God who praise the Lord. There are great multitudes who praise the Lord. Let's not miss out on this opportunity that God has presented to us to praise the Lord. Several years ago, I was taking someone, it was back during COVID, and I was taking them to get a treatment. And there was this large building. They had a reservation. They were there. They were supposed to be there. But when we got there, they ran out of medication. And there was something that was supposed to be there that wasn't there in adequate enough supply. That led to some interesting challenges. Let's make sure that when people come to the house of God, that they don't find that praising God is something that's not taking place. Let's make sure that they see that there's a people who are fixated on the greatness, the holiness, the power of God. We're going to get more into Revelation chapter 19, but we want to experience heaven on earth, and that means we are going to praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Realty.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need